B-Pod Studios.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
Who belong in the NFL?
Yeah, maybe he's serviceable.
Maybe serviceable, yeah. As he continues to grow in this game, make some more plays, continues to grow, maybe he can, do something. I don't know.
But we all do agree. They do need to bring another body in for the quarterback position, right?
Yes.
So that could happen. I know the team flew back last night. Today's a day off. How does it work? Guys come in for work if they need it or treatment if they need it?
Yeah, if you need treatment, you're coming in. Well, you know what? This is camp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you're still in training camp. This isn't like a regular season.
But usually,
you have a day off. So, I think whoever needs treatment, any injuries or whatever, they'll be in there. So that gives the coaches the time to come in, break down the film, and then also let's all start working these phones so we can bring some other people in.
I just saw somebody just tweeted this to me. His name, Paul B. Paul B. out there just tweeted me a screenshot of Mr. Dillard last night.
Yeah, I just saw that.
You're going to find this one interesting, Trey. It's a black screen with nothing but white font on it.
Yeah.
And it says, "A lot of folks must not know what empty protection is." Thinking emoji football.
Yeah, I mean, right? Okay.
Trey's worked up. Here we go.
Easy, young fella.
He was probably getting some mentions last night and probably said, "All right, I got to speak out on this because I didn't do anything wrong."
He's a little too much in his feels for me.
Easy, young fella.
He's an emotional man.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to win this battle. So
live to fight another day.
Just let it go. I'm going to do my part and it help educate people on the thing. All you need to do is focus on playing football. Don't worry about you.
Trey's got your back.
I got you. When you mess up, I'll let it be known too. But you know, he had his part in that as well. He could have done something a little bit different on there as well. But don't get into this, man, where you... Come on, man.
Let Trey do it. Let Trey do your talking.
He's all up in his feelings.
He knows what he's doing. You're listening to 97.5, the Fanatic WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. The 7 and a.m. hour was brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest's mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life. Stay connected with Univest Bank. So Dillard was still good last night. Good, would you put it, Trey? Okay.
Yeah, he did some good stuff out there. I mean, he's still, he's growing. Am I saying, hey, you're straight to the Pro Bowl right out the gate? Nah, I mean, you're still learning. This is part of it. Whatever. You made a
put
play.
In the work.
You made a play. The quarterback got killed. All right. You move on. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Move on. Don't get into trying to fight everybody on Twitter. Oh my God. People don't understand. All right. Yeah. A lot of people don't understand the blocking assignments of offensive linemen.
Right.
A lot of people don't.
And it's the same. You could just say the same thing for other screw ups along. We don't know what the play call was.
Yeah.
We don't know if, let's say Malcolm Jenkins allows a touchdown. We don't know if he was over top help or underneath. So it is always hard to place blame unless it's obvious.
Yeah. So calm down, relax,
The other rookie, Jamie, that you were, you said yesterday
Miles.
You were none. Well, besides Miles, but JJ Arcega-Whiteside, you wanted to take a look at. And what did you think of him last night?
He had 7 targets, only 2 catches. So my thing with him is, and I was thinking about this last night, his separation is there, the catches aren't. So if I had to pick, I think the separation part is harder to do than the catching. Like, I think the catching will come around. The fact that he's getting separation early on, this early on, and granted it's against the second and third stringers, we'll see when it's the real deal starter. That's encouraging to me.
Yeah.
Like he appears to run good routes. He had the one back shoulder ball that I believe he came up with yesterday, which was nice to see. But he appears to be creating separation, and I'm very encouraged by that.
Yeah.
I think the catches will come.
He reminds me of a good rebounder also, where he knows how to get a guy on his back.
Uh-huh.
He knows how to position himself where only he can get the ball.
I mean, I hope Alshon's here for a long time. Like I do. I love Alshon.
Yeah.
But, I mean, his game is very much that of Alshon-esque.
Yeah.
So he could be, maybe they drafted him with the idea that he's Alshon too.
Yeah, and go ahead. Talk about Miles Sanders because I know, you called for it.
I wanted
him from day one.
This kid's going to be good. I think he's going to steal the job early from Jordan Howard, where I used to think he's going to be a second half of the year player. I think he's really going to thrive. I think he's going to steal the job pretty early on.
The one thing I liked last night was he made a nice little run on one carry, probably gained like 8 yards, and then started hitting contact and went for another 4 after the contact.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It was on the sideline, I believe. He just looks comfortable out
there. And he picked up a really nice blitz at one point, too.
Yeah.
The linebacker came free up the, I guess, the A-gap there, Trey. Mm-hmm. And he laid his shoulder into him.
Yep.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
It was good to see.
They showed that, I think, twice. They showed the replay of that.
That was nice to see.
How good it was, yeah.
So, you know, encouraging things from Miles Sanders, Ortega. But I think we were all the most impressed with Deshaun Hall.
Yeah, he was just a motor last night.
I don't think there's any doubt he's taking the spot from Josh Sweat as the fourth defensive end.
It appears like, yeah.
I don't see how you can watch the two and think Deshaun isn't higher up on the depth chart.
And Sharif Miller didn't play bad last night either.
No.
He wasn't bad, but
I'm not expecting anything from him this year, but
right.
Yeah, he was all right.
Yeah. So that's your Eagles stuff.
I hope he gives you something, obviously, but we'll see.
Well, you know who gave you something last night? That was that Bryce Harper grand slam in the ninth inning.
That was sick.
Yeah, that's Bryce when he got interviewed
the
after
interview
the game.
Interview was awesome.
By Greg Murphy. It was, because it was an interviewer interviewing a kid.
Yeah.
Who just had one of his greatest highlights in all of sports.
And he literally pointed to Murph at one point to show him the goosebumps. He was like, would you look at this? He was like, outside of making the playoffs, that was one of the greatest moments of my sports life. And he pointed to the goosebumps.
So he hits the ball. For those who haven't seen, I think there's some that haven't still. He hits it, stands in the box for a minute because you knew it was going. It was second decker.
Crux, oh my God,
yeah,
was awesome.
As soon as he hits it, oh my God. So
Crux knows his home run swing, I think, better than Bryce does. Because the night before, he goes, oh, that's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Right, like, as he's swinging.
Yeah.
Like, Crux's got a great eye for Bryce's home run swing.
Yeah, and so Bryce hits the home runs, and his reaction was priceless, and here it is from last night.
That was sick. Wow. I don't even know. I mean, that was awesome. Oh, my gosh. I saw my parents' lights are off in the suite right now, so they probably didn't see that. So, thanks, Mom and Dad. Appreciate you.
On Mom and Dad.
Like a little dig on the parents.
Yeah. Well, once they found out Bob Cooney was out, they were like, there's no point.
Yeah. That's your most exciting moment in sports, and he's got a dig on his parents at the same time.
I love it.
Damn. Yeah, I made the mistake, as I've said. I made the mistake. I went, turned off the TV in the eighth inning, but it turns out many people did. Maybe even Glenn from Stroudsburg. Glenn, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you, buddy?
First time, long time.
Oh, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, man. Hey, just quick little bio. I was born a Boston fan.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, we moved to Delaware in the mid-60s. I held out to the mid-70s when the Flyers started taking over. And then I converted to the Eagles during the Buddy Ryan era.
Hey, you saw the light, Glenn, and you came to the right side.
That's right.
Well, not really. They've had like 17 titles in the last 10 years. Yeah. But regardless, you're on the right side.
There you go. So last night I'm at a bar where there's a band playing, watching a little bit of the Eagles, watching the Phillies, that kind of stuff. I don't know how I missed it. The crowd didn't erupt. I didn't even know it till much later on. Couldn't believe
Ooh.
It.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
But I was happy, right?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Never set foot in that bar again.
Well, it's a walking distance from my office, so I can't help it.
I can't make that promise. It has up here that you left a game early. Did you leave a game early before, Glenn, that you regret?
Oh, man. I'm a freshman in college, Purdue University. They're playing a rival called Notre Dame. They've been playing them since 1896. I'm there with a date. It's the fourth quarter. We're winning 24-14. She's kind of making looks at me like, hey, let's get out of here. They bring out this quarterback I'd never heard of. His name's Joe Montana. We're out in the parking lot, and we can hear all kinds of screaming and stuff. Long story short, he engineered a comeback, and then he led them all the way to the Nationals that year.
Oh.
And I left that game. That was his comeback. That's when he took over as leader of the Notre Dame.
Oh, so there's a story within the story, too.
There you go.
Ah, Glenn, that's tough. Glenn, do you have tickets for FanFest yet?
I do not, sir.
You do want them, right?
I do. I'd love to be there. I'm gonna
awesome.
Bring the
My
off.
Man, you're going to be there. Week from tomorrow. And as long as we're talking about FanFest, let's see. What do we got here? You know what? FanFest is exclusively presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. And you know it. It's Saturday, August 24th at Xfinity Live from 1 to 5 p.m. Tickets are free. but you have to have a ticket to get in. Go to 975thefanatic.com for a list of events and FanFest features. We already know number three is going to be there. That's right, 11-time All-Star, NBA MVP, NBA Hall of Famer. Allen Iverson, AI, will be appearing courtesy of Time After Time Watches. Time After Time keeps Philly ticking. And newly minted Philadelphia, and I mean minted in a really good way.
Yeah, he got that bag.
Yeah, he got that bag. He got plenty of bags. Yeah. 76er Tobias Harris, he'll be there courtesy of Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro by T-Mobile now and take advantage of the best deal in wireless, only at Metro. And just announced this week, that's right, DeSean Jackson will be in the house. So we
rock that TMO. We're going to get back to the 10.
There he is. DeSean Jackson will be in the house. It's going to be a great day. It's a week from tomorrow. And also, if you'd like to FanFest Iverson meet and greet, Allen Iverson meet and greet, go out to Time After Time Watches inside the Plymouth Meeting Mall Saturday.
That's kind of like my home mall.
It is, yeah.
Not in the city, but
you love going to the mall too. You're such a mall guy.
When you were a kid and stupid teenager, the mall was awesome.
No, we'll get done work. I'll be like, "What are you doing?" Oh, I'm going to the mall. You get all giddy. Oh, I love it. You hate going to the mall.
I do all my online shopping online.
Yeah, I know.
Jamie's a mall walker.
He's so funny.
I used to be a mall rat back in the day.
So if you want to win a chance for an Iverson meet and greet, go out to Time After Time Watches inside the Plymouth Meeting Mall tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. and grab a pair of FanFest tickets and get registered for a FanFest meet and greet with Allen Iverson.
Yeah,
that's all the week from tomorrow.
Mom, can you drop me off at the mall?
Yeah.
And then pre-cell phone, you'd have to be like, all right, I'll meet you guys at 4:30 at this,
the movie theater.
Yeah, right outside the movie theater or outside of the Gap. And then you have to stand there and wait for people like a bunch of idiots.
That was always the nothing else to do. Let's go to the mall.
Life before cell phones sucked. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Meeting people was awful.
No.
Yeah, it sucked.
Well, think about it. Aren't any my kids listening now? I got to make sure they're not. But, our thing on Friday and Saturday nights when, we were in high school and stuff, it was always, going out. I'm sleeping at Jamie's house. Jamie would say to us, hey, I'm going out. I'm sleeping at Bob's house.
Yeah, yeah.
You come home around 2:30 in the morning, way past your curfew. And you're like, I couldn't sleep at Jamie's house. I was too rough. Oh, okay. Have a good sleep. Whatever.
Beers in the woods, Bob.
Yeah.
Hey.
Now it's, where's Jenna? Look at my phone and, I can see exactly where she is.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Yeah, I would hate to have cell phones when I was a kid. Are you kidding me? The stuff we got away with? 610-632-0975. Phillies, Eagles, anything else you want? What was the game that you gave up on and it came back to haunt you, much like last night for me and Bryce Harper? Time at the Fanatic, 8:12.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Parker. Here it is. A towering blast. And the Phillies win it on a titanic grand slam from Bryce Harper.
Oh, what a crushing loss for the Cubs.
One of the longest you'll see in this ballpark.
So what you hear, that was the WGN in Chicago coverage of Bryce Harper's grand slam last night.
I feel you.
You could hear the disappointment in their voices as Harper hits the grand slam with
one
out.
Feed me their tears.
Yeah, right?
What? The Cubs suck on the road. It's awesome.
Amazing how bad they are. Yeah, then that was John Kruk. Just as the ball was hit last night. Barely did you hear the crack of the bat before Kruk said, oh, my God. I mean, he saw it right off the bat, whether it was...
Oh, my God!
Yeah. Tom McCarthy didn't even start the home run call
yet. He sounds like your boy Jim Ross.
Jim Ross. You love Jim Ross.
Yeah. I've already seen the wrestling top of the cage throw offs with a crook interspliced. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That's great.
But we're talking a lot of fill-ins today.
What a night.
Yeah, really. But it is a Football Friday. Football Friday on the Fanatic is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. I was guilty last night, as I said many times. I turned it off. I turned off the Phillies game in the eighth. I missed the Grand Slam. I'm not alone. And a lot of people have missed more things. But one thing I didn't miss last night, I want to see if somebody can get it. You guys, I don't think, know what I'm talking about. There was a play in the Eagles game last night that seemed unbelievably odd to me. It happened. I said, no way can this be the call. It was a call. It went against the Eagles, and I have never, ever, ever seen it before. See if anybody can get that. Jeff on I-95. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, guys. First-time caller.
Ah, welcome in, buddy. Thanks for calling.
Long-time listener.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I think I know the play you're talking about. It was a pass. I believe it was one of the defensive play, pass interference.
No, it wasn't that. It was something totally different. I've never, ever seen this before in my life.
Oh, man, you got me on this one then.
So what happened? Yeah. You missed the Harper Grand Slam?
I missed the Harper Grand Slam. I fell asleep early. I hear you guys talking about it this morning, and it's like, wow, I missed this. Kind of like I missed the little double doink last year.
How'd you miss the double doink?
Dude, I don't know. I really don't remember. I just I remember that my guys were like calling me, and he was like, hey, dude, we won the game. I said, oh, man.
Well, were you originally watching it? Were you watching the game against Chicago, and then you, what, turned it off?
Yeah, I think I turned it off, and I had to go somewhere. I'm not really sure what happened, but, yeah, I kind of missed that one, too. I'm in awe right now about the Eagles and the Phillies game. But I'm trying to see if you guys could help me out with some FanFest tickets here if I'm trying to take my daughter out.
I can absolutely help you out. Don't you worry about it. You're going to FanFest next week. Not a problem at all. Just hold the line there, Jeff, for 1 second. So Jeff missed the double doink. Doesn't remember why, but he missed it. I think if I missed the double doink, I would remember what the circumstances were surrounding it, but fortunately I didn't miss it. Eric from Perkasie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's happening, Eric?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Hey, so I have to admit, I did see the game last night. I was holding my lucky bat at the time, so I felt pretty good. And Trey, it wasn't that lucky bat.
Why'd you go right there?
That's all right. All right.
So actually, I've had the lucky bat out the last three games. They're on a streak, so I'm going to have to hold that sucker every night now. So
there you go.
But the game I missed, I have to admit, I'm a 3-for-4 guy, and I happen to be a Cowboys fan, so I thought you guys would have a little bit of fun with this one. Back in 2007, they were on Monday night. They played the Bills. The first game I ever went to, a professional football game, took my daughter. We went to the game. It's the night Romo had like 6 interceptions or whatever. So we decided to leave the game early because we were going Monday night game. I was going back to work the next day. My daughter was going back to school. So on the way home, I turned the radio off so she could sleep. Didn't realize the Cowboys scored 9 points in the last 20 seconds. They ended up winning the game with a 53-yard field goal on Monday night. And my first professional game, I missed the most exciting part as a Cowboys fan. But I thought you'd take pride in or enjoyment in my misery of, missing that victory.
Absolutely, we do. Can't say we feel sorry for you one bit. Yeah, sorry about that, Eric, but that's
your first ever game, Eric, and you left early?
Yeah.
Oh.
Absolutely, yeah.
Important lessons learned.
Were you living up in Buffalo at the time, or?
No, South Central PA. I just got a new job. I work in a school. So I had to go back and work the second part of the day. So we drove home from Buffalo to Gettysburg, PA.
That's a rough drive.
That could, that hurts.
Right, especially when you think the Cowboys got destroyed with Romo throwing 6 interceptions. I was angry the whole way home.
Yeah,
realized that everybody asked, "Hey, great game last night," and I was like, thinking they're making fun of me, and here, you know, the Cowboys came back and win. I didn't even realize.
Oh, that's one of the better ones. Thanks for the call, Eric. That's one of the better ones we've heard.
Yeah, that's great.
Hate to say it, but
you couldn't even listen to it on the radio.
Yeah, that sucks. I just saw a stat here I want to share. From Paul Hembikidis, who joins the Mike Mish show occasionally.
Oh, yeah.
He's the get-up statistician for ESPN.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Does a really good job with the stats. According to ESPN's win probability model grades this season, which I think is just another way of kind of saying war, but in clutch spots, grades Bryce Harper as the fourth best hitter in baseball this season. Christian Yelich, 1, with a 5.6 grade. Mike Trout, 2, with a 5.1. Cody Bellinger, 3rd, at 4.9. And Bryce Harper at 4.8.
Hmm. There you go.
So clutch, he says.
If you look deep enough, you can find something.
Well, I think it's, meaningful.
That's what she said.
And go-ahead type situations and clutch moments. So yeah. It's just a way to quantify that, and that's pretty good company to be in right there.
Yeah, it's great company to be in, and that was... We were talking about it earlier. As far as regular season wins go, excitement, what's all involved, that one ranks up there with we had to go back to Roy Halladay's perfect game.
Yeah.
And the other one was, somebody said Cole Hamels no-hitter in his last start. That game was in Chicago.
Yeah, that was in Chicago because I remember Cole went out and signed a bunch of autographs.
Yeah, that was cool. The fact that it was his last game, it was a no-hitter. But as far as significance, that doesn't matter. Like last night, that could propel you to a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. You know,
absolutely.
That's huge. And the fact that Charlie Manuel's on the bench has a lot to do with it, too. Chris and LBI, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, fellas?
Great. How you doing?
All right.
Not bad. So last
pretty good
night,
day.
I live around a bunch of Giants fans. We had our fantasy draft last night, so we're hanging out. I check the score. I'm like, I'm not even going to pay attention. So wore my D-Jacks jersey to the draft, you know, rubbing it in. Still remember the Miracle of the Meadowlands. Actually, I had went to Dallas the week before that game, and my uncles are season ticket holders to the Giants, so I passed them up, gave them to my brother. So I didn't get to go see the Miracle of the Meadowlands too, which was a kind of bummer. That's my kind of not get to see the game. But last night's game, the Phillies game, so I checked the score. It was 5-1. I'm like, I don't even want to pay attention. Get inside, me and my wife walk in. I turn a TV on. I had left it on NBC Philly. And literally, it was the grand slam. It was the pitch and the swing. I jump up. It was nuts. I stayed up for like 3 hours after that. It was a heck of a thing. I ended up watching the whole Eagles game after that. So I can imagine, you know, being there. That would have been a great, great game to go to.
Chris, there was something that happened in the Eagles game. It was a play, and I'll give another hint. There was a penalty on it that I have never, ever seen before. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Was it the pass interference challenge?
No, it wasn't the pass. Somebody else said that, too. It wasn't the pass interference challenge. But it was something I have never – didn't know the rule. Still not sure, but apparently it is one because the ref made the call and everybody agreed with it. So,
Trey, I want to get your opinion. What do you think about how Brandon and Malcolm came out and wanted to play? Do you think that kind of shed some light on the offense? Like, hey, get your butt out. Let's get going or what?
No, I think that everybody on offense was like, all right, y'all go ahead, but we're going to sit here and chill.
I tell you what, I was kind of impressed with Zach Brown. It seemed like he was filling the holes pretty good with a couple plays he played, and Jenkins was just flying around, man. So I think once all these guys get in there, I think the defense is going to be a good unit this year.
Yeah, I think so. I think that like the guys that stepped in to play, they did a really good job. I think that was real big for Malcolm Jenkins and Brandon Graham to say, you know what, I want to get a couple reps. And also, too, they came up in the era of when starters actually played in preseason games. Now they're like, you know what, with this whole new sitting everybody out, you know, during preseason games, these guys want to get out there and get it in just because that's what they're used to doing.
I'm Jones, man. I'm ready for the season. They got to cut this to 2 games. This is brutal.
Yeah, it is bad.
You guys are warriors out there.
Yeah, they were. Not anymore. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate the call. I still struggle, Trey, with the was it better bat? And we don't have it. We talked to Shefty about this a little bit. Mm-hmm. Back when you played two-a-days, hitting, going to the ground almost all during training camp. Mm-hmm. Now you don't do it at all. You guys played preseason games.
Yeah.
You know, now hardly at all. They practice not nearly with the intensity or the physicality that you guys have. Has it helped? I mean, we still see a bunch of injuries. We still see tons of injuries. I would love to see, we don't have them, and I don't know if anybody does, but I would love to see injuries from then to now. Is there a vast difference?
Well, I guess, too, you know, if you're not practicing hard, you're not playing hard either.
Could
you know
they?
What I'm saying? Where as well, it's not. It's, you're not playing with the same intensity, I guess. I don't know. You know, especially for an offensive player, I think defensive players are always a little bit more tuned up because they just want to hit people,
right?
And they love hitting people. So you know, you have to tell a defensive player not to hit anyone. But I think with offensive players, maybe with the offensive line, sometimes they get caught trying to acting like they're still in practice because they don't have to finish like they should. In practice.
Yeah.
Because you know that a defensive lineman isn't going to hit the quarterback, so you kind of get caught in that space where it's like, all right, the ball is going, I can let my guy go now. You know, and you see that a little bit sometimes with Dillard, and also, well, not with Dillard. With Dillard a couple times on that dual block, I think he could have been a little bit more violent with it.
Right.
But you see it a couple times with Jordan where he just gets that one punch and like, all right, I'm just going to let my guy run by. You know, my job is done because that's what I've been used to doing in practice.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard it since we were little kids. You practice how you play,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you do start to wonder. You made a great point about Mailata earlier this week that you wonder if in practice when the defensive lineman gets to a spot, you know that he can't go any further because they're not allowed to touch the quarterback, so you stop.
Mm-hmm.
So you wonder if that carries over into a game. I would love to see numbers if there were, and we'll see how this all plays out with injury this year. It just scares the hell out of me that the fear of injury is ruling the day here.
Hey, question for you to shift gears for a second. A ruin today, our buddy tweets in. Was that the first time Tom McCarthy's ever gone, that ball's out of here?
I saw that this morning, and I heard it this morning.
I saw the tweet, but it was.
I heard him say out of here, and it did stick into my ear a little bit.
I think he reverted back to Harry with the excitement.
That's all right. If you're going to revert back, that's a good way
of
doing
it. No, I don't have a problem with it, but I can't recall him ever doing that before.
Yeah, I don't either.
Oh, my God!
And it's probably a conscious effort on his part, right?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe he was just excited and the that's in his soul.
I mean, a conscious effort that he doesn't usually say out of here.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, because that definitely
that's
is
one man saying.
Richie in Palmerton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's happening, Rich?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Big fan of the show. So it was funny. Last night I was watching the Eagles game, watching the Phillies. And then I flipped back in the ninth inning when Hoskins got hit. I had the funniest feeling that this is it. I think Bryce is going to hit a grand slam. And sure enough, my fiance is not even a sports fan. And she's like, wow, I have a feeling he's going to hit a grand slam too. And it was really funny. She got caught up in the moment too. It was great. I was flipping out. And it was just a great, great moment to see.
That's right.
So you both called it. You and your fiance both called that Bryce Harper was going to hit that grand slam.
You kind of just knew. Like I just felt like when Hoskins got hit by that pitch, you kind of knew it was coming. Like you just had the feeling that something was about to happen. I mean, I don't know if he was going to hit a home run. I mean, for sure, but you just knew that. I just had a feeling that you were going to tie the game or possibly win it.
I have to ask you this, Richie. If you both had that feeling, you and your fiance are watching the game, how close in proximity were you to the two of each other?
Well, we were in the bedroom, so we were pretty close.
Oh, okay. See?
Pow, pow.
Yeah, a little pow pow, Trey.
Yeah.
What do you got on the Eagles, Richie?
Hey, well, I was watching the game last night, Trey. I just wanted, you know, your opinion on what you think of the overall of the, you know, the second and third, you know, defensive line, what you thought of them last night.
The second and third defensive line? When you're talking about Hall and I think Sharif Miller.
I thought Hall played great last night. Yeah. I mean, I thought he looked really good on the outside. He looked like he was, like, timing the count right when he was coming in on the quarterback. He looked pretty good.
Yeah, I think Hall is doing a really good job. It seems like he's really out there battling for more playing time to really make some noise on this squad. He's probably right now one of their better rushers. I thought Sharif Miller had a really good sack as well when he had the nice little delayed spin move. He knew that, all right, there's no need for me to be behind the quarterback. But even though on that one particular play, Josh Sweat came in, gave a quick bull rush, and then went inside on him. So Sharif Miller was taking the long haul, but then he spent back into it and got the sack. I mean, you know, there you go. That's what you want to see out of young DNs, guys that keep working and understand where they are on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, a few times last night, I'm pretty sure it looked like, it looks like they actually blitzed a few times last night, if I recall correctly, which you don't usually see. I mean, I know it's preseason, but
mm-hmm.
It's good to see. I think it's good to see that because last season we didn't really see that at all. So, you know, maybe if we're getting a little glimpses of blitzes here and there, I mean, is it signs that maybe the defensive line will be a little bit more active on that? Or
absolutely. I mean, run a couple games, run a couple blitzes. I mean, now is the time to try it anyway, because the game's done. I mean, the game, the score doesn't matter. So now is the time to go ahead and practice all of that against different looks. This is the time to practice the spacing and timing of those blitzes.
Richie, when was the last time you took your fiance out on a date?
We actually got back. We were just at Point Pleasant, New Jersey, last week. So it was a nice little getaway for us. So not too long.
I got a getaway for you next Saturday. You want to go take her to Fan Fest?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Hold on a second. I'll get you some tickets to do that. Not a problem there. All right. Nick from Abington has an idea of maybe what I'm talking about, the play that really got to me last night. Nick, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How you doing, buddy?
You've heard from me before. I'm half the boot chugger phenomenon from the bank, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm back. But I think the play you're talking about, it was either a kickoff or a punt where the player touched the ball while standing out of bounds.
Yeah, did you guys see this?
Yeah, I saw that.
I think it actually happened in an actual game before. I think it was Randall Cobb do it.
I've never seen it before in my life.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, I guess you could say, playing the game, you know, it's kind of working with the rules.
It's a
weird rule.
It's weird, I know. So for people who didn't say or don't know what we're talking about, I believe it was a kickoff, Nick. So a kickoff goes, it looks like it's going to go out of bounds at about the 4 or 5 yard line, but it doesn't. It stays in bounds, because we know if the ball goes out of bounds on a kickoff, it's a penalty. The other team starts at the 40. It stays in bounds. The guy that's going to return it purposely steps out of bounds with one foot and then puts his hand on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And a flag goes up. And I'm thinking, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Well, the rule is the ball goes out to the 40.
Yeah.
Why? The ball never went out of bounds.
Yeah, now, it would have been totally different if he caught the ball in bounds and ran out of bounds.
But you see what I'm saying? The ball's in play. I don't.
It would have gone out of bounds anyway.
The ball died, though. Didn't it die in bounds?
No, it would have gone out of bounds.
I thought it looked like it was going to go out of bounds, then it rolled, stayed in bounds, and stopped. And then he put his foot out of bounds and touched the ball.
Yeah, that's the proper way to do it. That's a good way of working the rule.
I hear you. Good for him for knowing the rules. Nick, you have your tickets to FanFest, right?
I do not.
Ah, you want a pair?
Sure.
You got it. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, I've never, ever in my life seen that play before, Trey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was Jamie. Did you know the play we're talking about?
I must have missed it.
Yeah, well, it was a kickoff.
Shushing to sleep at that time.
Yeah, well, it's on
I
a kick,
that one.
Yeah, after a touchdown or whatever, a kickoff is usually the play.
I got to be honest, in today's NFL, like kickoffs and punts, it's almost like,
yeah,
right,
kind of boring.
I can check out.
Darren Sproles is going to bring back the excitement.
They've removed it from the game.
Jacksonville's
punter was on point yesterday, though.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Like, all of his punts were dying at, like, the 3 yard line.
I think punters are such an underrated thing in the NFL.
Yeah.
Punters are the worst position in sports.
They might be.
So what?
No, that's the worst position in sports, the punter.
You mean in terms of respect?
The only people that are excited to see you is the other team.
Yeah.
It's the worst position to have.
But they can make such a difference. Like, a good punter can make such a difference in field
position. Especially anymore. If a team is anywhere.
Like Donnie Longball. That guy was awesome.
If a team is anywhere, it seems like kickers are so good now. If you're the Eagles and you have the ball anywhere outside of the 25-yard line, you're kicking down inside the 20. I mean, it seems like punters are that good anymore that anywhere outside the 25, you're kicking down and you're pinning teams inside their own 20. I don't know, but what's not overrated? You can win a trip to Disney. That's right. Win a trip for four to Disney for the NBA experience. You love the game of basketball. Well, now it's time to live it. Take your shot at the all-new NBA experience at Walt Disney World Resort with a special Fanatic giveaway. There are two ways to enter. Go to 975thefanatic.com, go to the contest page, and enter to win. Or go to FanFest 2019, and on-site there will be a register to win area. So we got Eagles. Obviously, Bryce Harper Grand Slam is what we're talking about. Time at the Fanatic, 8:41.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, check this out. Check this out from Matt Gelb.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool.
The Phillies had lost 316 consecutive games when trailing by at least 4 runs entering the 9th inning.
Wow. That's until like almost 3 full night. Seasons of baseball.
That's amazing. How do you not have just an epic comeback?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 2 full seasons of baseball.
Yeah, baseball goes forever.
Math is hard. That's why I got into radio.
I love math. You don't like math?
It's all right.
You a numbers guy, Trey?
No.
No?
And that's a no for me, dog.
So here's another stat. So Bryce Harper, from the time he started running, Bryce Harper took approximately 15.8 seconds to run the bases.
Yeah, but a good almost 6 of that was rounding first.
Yeah, Gurriel did it in only 0.4 seconds faster on his inside the park home run earlier this year.
Wow. That is a good stat.
And he could have ran that faster if he wanted. That was awesome rounding of the bases.
Yeah, he watched the ball for a second.
He watched it, and then he went the first normal home run trot, and then he's just like, this is awesome.
He's like, I can't wait to get to home plate and celebrate.
He was marveling at the views.
He was marveling.
Oh, yeah.
Sensational. So maybe that's a hit that just propels this team, and they...
One can hope. Yeah. One can hope. There, I mean, usually when you go on runs, there's a moment where you look back on it, and especially playoff caliber runs. Usually there's something you look back on and go, that was it. Like the Eagles season, that 63-yard field goal. Like, to me, that changed the course of the season.
That was a season full of,
there was something to that moment. When you look back on it, you're like, damn.
They could have been 1-2.
Yeah. It changed everything.
Yeah.
And it probably got Jake Elliott a job longer than maybe he should.
610-622-0975. So Bryce Harper ends a string of 319 consecutive games that the Phillies lost when trailing by 4 or more going into the 4th inning, or going into the 9th inning. Sloan from West Oak Lane, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's everybody this Friday morning?
Great. How are you?
What's up, Sloan?
First and foremost, I want to thank you guys. I was the grand prize winner to the boxing match at the Lear Corps Center this past Saturday.
Oh, nice. How was it?
Awesome.
Good.
Awesome. Fat Joe was there. He performed.
Nice.
Sosa came out for the last fight. I came by the station Wednesday to pick up my gloves. I'm stoked by you guys, man.
Oh, that's awesome. So I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I greatly appreciate it. Last night, just like the guy that just called, I told my wife, I said, Bryce is going to hit a grand slam. I watched Reese at bat, and I said, please, Reese, don't strike out. And thank God he got hit by the pitch. My wife was like, well, what are they doing? He got hit. He has to go to first base. I said, babe, he left himself open when he swung. So they look at that to see if he really got hit or because he swung, he got hit. So she was fine with that. She didn't start ranting and raving at the TV like I do. As soon as the ball hit his bed, I said, that's upper deck. Mm-hmm. Upper deck. And I'm hooping and hollering. I woke my dog up. My dog's looking at me like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm asleep. But it just shows. And I was the guy that called a couple weeks ago and told you, Charlie should be the manager. And then I told you the kid from the movie should be the manager. You guys laughed at me. But, I'll take batting coach. That's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, right?
But,
is this coincidence, Sloan? Is it a coincidence that they're averaging 9 runs a game since Charlie became hitting coach?
Well, like Charlie said when he was in there 2 weeks ago with you guys, you blend in the analytics with common sense baseball.
Yeah.
Simple as that. I mean, you have to look at the most winningest coach in Philly's history. He didn't do it on a fluke. He knows baseball. And Gabe's standing around with his chest out now all of a sudden. Yeah, this is my idea. And we all know how he is. He thinks he's the smartest person in the room, and in actuality, most of the time he's not.
Yeah, maybe. Sloan, do you have tickets to FanFest?
Funny story. I have tickets. I'm taking my stepson. My wife, I've converted her while she's listening to you guys. She has tickets. She's taking her god sister.
Oh, awesome. All right,
cool.
Yeah. Make sure you find us and say hello, Sloan.
Definitely. And one more thing. Trey,
yes.
If you guys set up you replaying a football game and breaking it down, I'll cater the food for you guys.
All right, cool. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Sloan, we might take you up on that, because that's something we definitely have to do.
Yeah, man.
And I like that better. I like watching it after with you better, right? Because watching it live, we got to do the breakdown with you.
People would get frustrated with me.
Yeah, we need a little clicker action.
Yeah.
Let's rewind that and bring it back here. Why don't you show me what Andre Diller was doing there, Trey?
Yeah, and then you want to see it from the coach's eye anyway, from the coach's film anyway.
Yeah,
right.
Because when you watch it from the TV version of it, it's hard to pay attention to lineman play.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But there is nothing in football that makes you understand a game more than being explained the offensive line.
I've
learned that over the years, and now that having gotten to know you over the last couple of years, Trey, it's amazing to me. And for people out there to think, oh, yeah, the big bodies get up front and just hit somebody. My God, the amount of thinking that goes in the offensive line play.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And I used to hear it back in the day. People would say, I remember the first time I heard it. I was a young adult. Somebody said, no, you don't understand. The smartest players on the field are offensive linemen.
Yeah, usually they are cerebral types.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of offensive linemen, I just saw a headline from today's Inquirer, updated 35 minutes ago from your boy Damo.
Yeah.
This headline made me feel feelings, and not good ones.
Uh-oh.
Would you trade Lane Johnson for Jadeveon Clowney?
No.
Hell no.
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 That's not even a no. That's a LOL. Hell no.
Was he responding to some type of rumor?
He doesn't write the headlines. Correct?
No, he does not.
I haven't dove into the whole article yet, but that sometimes the headlines can kind of ill portray the story, so I have to dive into the actual story. But that headline sucks.
Would you trade Zach Ertz for Jadeveon Clowney?
Well,
no.
Look, I said last year.
No.
Whoa, wait.
He's due a lot of money, and there's an out in his contract after this year. I'm just saying, if you're looking at cap casualties a year from now.
Yeah, I actually expect him to be traded after this year.
He's at the top of the list of guys that could be a cap casualty.
You can get a lot for him, too.
And if Dallas Goedert shows you the playmaking ability we think he's got, I don't think that one's as crazy. Lane Johnson, hell no. He's got 6 to 7 years of his prime of being the best right tackle in football. So, no.
I remember saying that.
And Jadeveon Clowney wants like $115 million for a guy that has an injury every single year.
Yeah. I wonder if the story is comparing two guys that are superstars but are often injured.
It's not Damo's fault, but that headline sucks.
I remember the first time I was ever called, coming over to radio, the first time anybody ever called me a troll, was last year. We were talking about it, and I think I said it to you, James. I said it on air. Trading Zach Ertz might be something that you seriously think about if this Dallas Goedert is as good as everybody says. Now, this was last year before we really knew Goddard.
Oh, you're just doing the radio for calls, and Bob.
I was really just thinking out loud. But
no, his contract becomes kind of outrageous after this year. So his cap hit goes up. This year you have him at 6.2, which is frankly cheap.
Yeah.
There's a potential out after 2020, which is 4 years, $31 million. But next year, his cap number goes up to 13.2 and then 11.8 after that. So there is a potential out this year. So it's not the craziest thought in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something you might want to look at. I mean, that's the way you have to think, too. I mean, that's how a Howie Roseman thinks.
Well, yeah, totally. But to defend it, the new trend in the NFL is the biggest mismatch on the field is going to be the tight end versus linebackers. And when you have Ertz and Goddard, and Goddard's going to be cheap for another 2 years still.
Yeah.
So you it's a great advantage and it's a great weapon to have. You know, Belichick kind of started this even before the murderer and Gronk.
Right.
He kind of always liked the two tight end thing. And now the league has kind of caught up to him. And the Eagles, luckily, are at the forefront of it. But it's not crazy. $13.2 million for a tight end is a big chunk.
That's going to be fun to watch this year, those two tight ends on the field at the same time.
Good luck, linebackers.
Yeah, I think Goddard's going to, because he's going to get so much one-on-one in the forgotten-about tight end, I think he's going to get close to 10 touchdowns this year.
They look so similar out on the field together.
Oh, my God.
Except for Yak.
Yeah,
because Goddard looks to hit people.
Ertz says he's working on it, though. He went
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.